Good evening and welcome to the Naked Football Counselling Session, where you fans can pour out all your troubles to our panel, which tonight includes the, what are they, the Kesgrave Ultras. The Kesgrave Ultras, all Ipswich Wanderers supporters, including Adrian Lubbock, or Ludbrook, isn't it? Say hello. Say hello to the viewers.
Good evening, everyone.
Chris Chisnell.
Hello there.
And Matt Nichols.
Good evening.
And as I say, they all support Ipswich Wanderers, and of course our resident psychologist is Mr. Phil Hamm. Who I believe, before we get on to Wanderers, do you want to pour over last night's disaster? No.
It wasn't very good, was it? It's difficult to know where to start with it, because it was just so cataclysmically bad. I suppose you do have to say quite nice things about Southampton, because they have clearly progressed a long way this season from the team that we saw at St Mary's, because they passed the ball nicely at St Mary's, but they just had they were very physically very weak side, really. Like, I saw them in a couple of other games, and they were a soft touch. But they've kind of brought in their more experienced players since they had the change of coach, and Jason Newell last night I thought was excellent, and Rudy Scatchell came into the left back, you know, who we nearly signed.
Yes.
But we just never got going at any stage, whether it was the conditions and or just kind of a bit of taking a side in the bottom three a bit too lightly. We just were never at the races at any stage, and really, you know, it could have been 5, 6, 7. Yeah. It was very depressing, and you know, after sort of, I know we lost at Preston, but we played quite well there, and after the QPR game, when I think most people felt we played very well, it was kind of back to the kind of usual inconsistency and misery of the earlier stages of the season. I think that just about covers it, really, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the playoffs look, I mean, are mathematically possible, but at no stage of the season have we managed to put in a consistent run of form that would make us look like we could jump from 10th into 6th. But, you know, still possible, but I think most people would agree that it's pretty undeserved. Have you ever seen much of Town this season?
I mean, I've seen a few games, and some been away to a few. I mean, Norwich away, which I'm sure we don't want to pick the bones out of.
Yeah,
that
last
one
night
again,
was pretty similar to the Norwich game in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts more in a derby, though, doesn't it? To not be up for a derby game is, to me, there's something wrong.
Mm.
I mean, then again, I watched them play at QPR the other week, and I thought, fantastic. He's starting to learn. He's starting to put the same side out. We're starting to pass the ball around. We're starting to play like an Ipswich team. And yet, we take one step forward and three steps backwards and get a result like last night.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's just the lack of consistency. And I think it's not just something this season. It's the 3 years that Jim has been manager, really. We've never really put in a consistent run of form, have we, at any stage?
Not at all.
It's always been there or thereabouts since Jim's been in charge, to be honest. And I think they've gone the wrong way by keeping him on to the end of the season, to be honest.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said for taking a bit of pressure off the manager, isn't there? You can see the owner wanting to do that. But at the same time, you know, there does come a point when he ought to, you know, pull the plug, as it were. Mm. It's a difficult one, really. I mean, you have to kind of, in a way, be pleased that you've got an owner who is willing to give a manager time.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that bodes well for whoever the next man coming in is?
Who is there? That's the problem, isn't it? Who's out there who could do it?
For me, Kurvishley would be mine.
Kurvishley, yeah.
Again, as if we've got to obviously pay money for him because he's a quality manager. He's obviously going to be on more money than Magilton.
Mm.
But when Kurvishley started at Charlton, pretty much Ipswich are in a similar position now. So whether he could bring them on.
I mean, that sort of mould of manager, I think, is. I mean, I think we're already starting to sort of think that Jimmy's gone in the summer. I mean, does anyone.
None doing me, son.
Yeah, Graham. Graham's just exploded.
Yeah, you carry on without me.
I think, I mean, is the assumption Jimmy's going to go in the summer then?
I think so. I mean, he's had 3 years now.
Yeah.
To be honest, he was given a hell of an opportunity to even start at this level.
Hmm.
How many people with his experience would get to go straight in the second level of English football? Not many.
No.
He must have presented a very good case to the board when he put it forward 3 years ago. But at that point, when he presented that case, he must have put four targets and said, in 3 years I'm going to achieve, or 2 years I'll achieve this, this, this and this. and you can bet your bottom dollar he hasn't hit any of them.
After saying that, though, as a first-time manager, he hasn't done an incredibly bad job. There's been a lot worse.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
John Barnes comes to mind. I don't know why.
But he was probably doing better when he had no money, though, wasn't he?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think he probably hit his targets in the first couple of seasons because he was doing it with no money at all. It's this third season when he's had money that things have gone less well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's been a steep learning curve. When I watched the QPR game, part of me sort of thought, well, maybe it was all building up to a head of steam. There was a lot of pressure on him ahead of that game. Maybe he's learned a couple of big lessons, you know, within this last couple of weeks with the press getting on his back. And he's learned, because to me, looking at it, I see half the problem in that he's having trouble making the jump from being one of the lads to the manager. And they're two very different things, and he needs to treat people very differently. And there's a lot of people on the playing staff there that he played alongside. And whether he can, you know, half the job to him is making that distinction between, you know, you don't take advantage now, I'm the manager, bang, what I say is done. And I think that, to me, seems to have been a little bit of the problem, whether he's put himself into that position. And I thought maybe that was a lesson he was beginning to learn. When you looked at QPR, dropped certain players, brought certain players back in, thought, right, maybe he's now starting to get to grips with that side of it. But I mean, I don't know.
Last night blows
it all back into the water, doesn't it?
Mm. Graham, you watched the game.
I was going to say, you made an interesting point in your little column today. I noticed.
Did I? That's very rare.
About the letter that comes round with our little pack, which we all thought should have really have had a little puppy dog on the front being tortured so that you buy your season ticket. Otherwise,
I thought that's about
the only thing that they were going to get you to buy. But
interesting marketing approach.
But what you did say was that there's not one single mention of the word Jim McJilton in there, is there?
No.
You say that? I thought it was telling.
And on top of things where, I mean, I spoke to Derek Brown I suppose it must be 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and you know, it was very definitely that the manager would have money to spend in the summer.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jim, it was the manager.
Mm.
And Marcus Evans's statement about you know, his backing of the manager kind of quite clearly made it it was the end of the season. It wasn't anything beyond that. I mean, I think if we don't get the playoffs, he's definitely gone, whatever.
Because I
think that the playoffs is the minimum requirement.
Yeah.
Of an Ipswich manager who's been handed 12 million quid.
With that sort of money, you've got to expect at least 6 points.
Yeah. And even if he makes the playoffs, I think there's been so much kind of disharmony within and without and outside the club, meaning on the terraces and whatever, that really I think a line needs to perhaps be drawn ahead of next season. And I mean, the other thing is, you know, season tickets, coming back to Graham's central point, was that, you know, people aren't going to buy season tickets if Jim's manager, because they don't have a lot of faith in him, do they?
No, that's something I was going to say. Would you maybe look from Marcus Evans' position after seeing the results like last night and think, right, damage limitation, do we start to put moves afoot now to put a new manager in place?
Hmm. But do you think at the same time he might actually have said, well, we're giving Jim to the summer, which he effectively has done, because he's either got somebody in mind or has got somebody absolutely lined up that's already in a contract somewhere else? I'm not saying that I know that he has or I've had any information, but do you know what I mean? It's not beyond the realm of possibility, is it?
With the kind of money on the line that we're talking with, and the current talk of season ticket renewals, making a definite step or making a definite statement might sell an extra 5,000 season tickets.
Mm,
mm.
But they might want to see.
He's a commercial man, he's a money man, he might think along those lines.
But he might want to see whether what the uptake is like with Jim first before they relaunch it under the sort of saying, buy your season ticket, Jim's gone now, you know.
If they went into that now and saying, right, that's it, Jim's gone at the end of the season, that's final, okay, it might boost the season ticket holders, but it could have a detrimental effect on what's happening on the pitch at the moment.
That's true, that's true.
And I think no town fan would want that.
No. So have we got anything on the...
We've got quite a few emails, but obviously mostly to do with Ipswich. So if we want to have a little dabble with Ipswich Wanderers, we've got Trevor Litchfield here. Tell the boys good luck on tonight's show. I hope to be seeing them when they visit Dith's Town on Tuesday the 10th.
He will. Definitely.
So, Connor, thanks for that, Trevor. Where does this... I mean, I've known Mr. Ludd since we were small children.
We were at school together,
Was he small then? Was he? I was going to make some comment along those lines. So where does this love of the Wanderers come from? Because you're obviously a town man.
I am a town man. Still, when I was a season ticket holder about 4 years ago now, if town was away and we weren't going to the away game, we used to go and watch Wanderers. It started another old colleague of ours, Mr. Tuttle.
Ah.
We went up there. Jason Dazelle was manager then, so that was the pull for us.
Yeah.
We used to go and watch an ex-town legend, local team, 2 miles up the road. And just, you know, just the freedom that you get with non-league football. You can stand still, you can sit and have a beer. But at the time, Ipswich Wanderers was quite a quiet place. And a certain afternoon match involved me, Tuttle, and our friend Stella Artois, and
Dazelle
coming, scoring an equaliser to bring back a 3-0 deficit against Kirkley and Bakefield back to 3-3 in the 93rd minute. Jay thought he was back at Tottenham and he was going bananas. He was coming sliding into the Kesgrave end on his knees.
It
wasn't even the Kesgrave end then, was it? It was just the stand behind the goal. And that was kind of the birth of it, really. They then went on to an unbeaten run that season and gained promotion off the back of that game. As I started to get a little bit disillusioned with Ipswich, I thought, you know, I was spending a lot of money on a season ticket and a lot of money on games, and decided to try something different and spend a couple of, well, 2 seasons really full time, didn't I, at the Ducey. I've now dropped back off the committee because I thought town might do bigger and better things this year, and I wanted to watch a few games for each and taking a few away games because I do miss the big games.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said with non-league, but at the same time you need to have your league fix as well.
Mm.
And I do like a good away game occasionally. So I dropped off the committee to get a bit more freedom, but to be honest with you, I mean, I've seen probably 5 town games, 2 away, 3 home, and hardly missed a game with Wanderers.
So how did Wanderers getting on this season then?
Well, we were doing all right until we got a 9-point deduction from the league and the local FA. All down to paperwork. I mean, it's amazing that even at semi-professional level, everything's going through Soho Square. It's just one little mistake. It just seems like they work in the Stone Age because everything is faxed backwards and forwards. I mean, we live in a day of electronic mail. Why they still have to be reliant on fax machines, which aren't the most reliable of things. And one little mistake costs you 4 matches we've had to replay, 9 points deducted. Plus the cost of it. I mean, the thing is, the club lives, particularly at the moment in the recession, on a hand-to-mouth basis. There's not a lot of money out there. People can't afford to sponsor the clubs like they used to. So when all of a sudden, when you have to start paying for match officials, which cost, I think, was about £250 a game.
We had them from Huntington on
Saturday. Yeah, yeah.
Really? It's ridiculous. Yeah, pay their travel.
Yeah, we have to pay, you know, the guys come from the far-flung reaches of East Anglia. And we had to pay the travel for the opposing team. It's a lot of money, We've done well as a club. We've banded together. We've literally just put on the forum donations, and people have chucked money out of their pocket, come right across the board from supporters and committee.
Some dark people have been supporterlessly. We've even got a certain yellow friend in Lowestoft who's been supporterless.
I hate to say it, the guy that runs CanaryCorner.net puts money into Ipswich Wanderers.
Yeah.
He was talking about reserve shirt sponsorship at one point. I don't care, we'll take yellow money as long as it goes on a blue shirt, don't worry.
It'll
still say Ipswich on the badge, pal. You'll never change that.
What's the financial turnover of a club the size of Ipswich Wanderers in, roughly? What do players get paid?
Not much.
Not much.
It does vary. Depending on the sort of budget you've got and what backing from sponsorship you've got. So every club varies, but a lot of clubs, especially in Division 1, are very much struggling at the moment because, as Adrian said, we are living from a week-to-week basis. And when things like this, with the deduction of points and the fines imposed, it can put a big spanner in the works, and it can mess things up for a few months for us.
Because Witten had problems, haven't they?
Witten have folded completely. Not as a club, but as a first team.
Yeah,
and it could actually end up with us getting fined more than what Witten got fined for dropping out the league altogether, and through a simple paperwork mistake.
That's the thing with the FA. I mean, non-league football, especially our level, is all voluntary.
Yeah,
and they expect people who've got full-time jobs to do another full-time job on top of that. Being a club secretary is a full-time job in itself. And I mean, I had the pleasure of doing some bits last year, but to be honest, when you've got a job, you've got to put that first.
Yeah. And I mean, even little things like the ground gradings. If we were to go up into the next league, which used to be the Rymans, but is now they seem to be picking East Anglian clubs, putting them into the British Gas Business League, which is a nightmare because you end up paying clubs the other side of Birmingham. Which for part-timers, you know, guys have got to work during the week and then get to a night game in somewhere like, something like Cirencester and places like that, aren't they? Right the other side of the country. But the ground grains, if we were to go up just one level, we need to have things like three turnstiles on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, why? You know, the average gate's 100 people.
Yeah.
We haven't even got the people to man three turnstiles on a match day and everything else that needs to be done. It just seems ridiculous that they kind of strangle the game. They kind of say grassroots, it's the future, it's, you know, yet they strangle it at the same time.
You don't really get any help off the FA at all at grassroots level, as in our club. And as we've already said, it's all voluntary, and sometimes people haven't got the time to put in. But I mean, the FA need to take a big long look at this and realise that this is where a lot of talent are coming from. Mm. Jamie Scowcroft is a good example. He came from lower league football, didn't he?
Miller from Bury recently.
The FA got to look at this and look at it as more of a breeding ground for young talent than. You know, just some local little club.
Yeah.
I don't think we're taken seriously enough.
Yeah.
The other thing he misses these days is if you don't get so many ex-pros in there. He used to love the ex-pros.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he was to mention Jason Dizelle, but...
And you've got
Kevin Allock, isn't he, playing at Needham at the moment.
Mr. Hammett, Blecky at this.
Your mate, isn't he? He is, yeah, he don't like me. which we approached Fabian Wilmers, didn't we? Which probably would have been a better move than Grays Athletic, to be honest.
I can't say anything about Grays. My dad supports Grays.
But
actually, I mean, talking only in Suffolk, we're actually, it's doing quite well at the moment.
I mean, we've got Lowestoft and Needham, could possibly be at Wembley playing each other.
That would be a fantastic all-Suffolk Wembley final.
It would be great. I mean, Lowestoft, we have a very close relationship with the Lowestoft supporters. When we first started going to Wanderers and we were up in the Premier League and playing them, we used to go to some away grounds and because we were a bit noisy and have a sing-song. And you can imagine
I've seen something on YouTube with you with a continental-style flair at Diz Town, I believe.
Paul Daniel's magic trick, let's turn Diz into the San Siro. It pretty much worked as well. It was good.
I think that's where we basically got our name, the Ultras, from.
Yeah.
They did try to throw you out of the ground, didn't they? But we said there'd be a riot.
It was quite good. Lowestoft, in fact, scored a third goal whilst the flare was going off. Nobody saw it because they were much more interested in what was going on in the stand at the other end. And then at the end, because we do have this close relationship with the Lowestoft supporters and a lot of the players and the committee up there, we knew the chairman then was Gary Bennett, weren't it? And we get on very well with Gary. And the Regions League Cup got filled with lager. You can imagine there's these guys from the league like, and it got filled with lager, and the next thing, the supporters of the opposing team drinking out of the league. Never on my watch.
They
were all running into the Daily Mail and everything, weren't
they? We did go in style though. We all turned up in limos that day.
So at the stage of the Vars is that Lowestoft are through to the semis.
They've got Whitley Bay now. I went home and away because they, funnily enough, at exactly the same stage last year, they got Whitley Bay.
It's a nice close trip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool, it's a long way. Yeah. I tell you what, it's a nice ground, Whitley. It's a really old ground, but the non-league grounds up there are different. They're big.
Yeah.
Whitley has a main stand that probably holds about 1,500.
Oh, really?
Banking and terracing all the way round.
They go back a long way, though, don't they?
Bishop
Auckland, all those sort of teams.
There's Durham and all that up there. They're big teams up there. They had the home leg first last year, built up a 4-0 lead, then went away to Whitley and basically hung on by the skin of their teeth. Whitley put three past them in about the first 20 minutes, and you're sitting there thinking, oh no. and then they hung it on for the rest of the game in atrocious. I mean, it was sunny. We had sun for about 2 minutes, and then sort of gales coming in off the North Sea. It's never the most hospitable. But
so it was a bit like Roker Park, isn't it?
Yeah. But they hung on, and then obviously through to the final. I mean, Needham. Is it next Saturday?
Yeah.
Replay.
And Town, of course, play Needham next Tuesday in the Suffolk Premier Cup, I think, Town's reserve.
They do, yeah. I think they've got the Vars game first. The Vars will be the one they'll go for.
Yeah.
That's the obvious. Any player at this level.
Definitely.
To get
that's
to Wembley.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. And
managers as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, since they've been playing at the new Wembley, the attendances, because before it was always played with Sudbury. Sudbury done it 3 years on the bounce.
Mm.
And they played, I think they played Upton Park, didn't they? They played Villa Park. And it always used to be a Premier League ground. Well, now they play Wembley, it makes so much more of a day of the event. And it's, you know, they're getting about 30,000 crowds there. It's record crowds for the Vars. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Good day out.
Well, lowest off last year, okay, but they had all the region's clubs sending coaches as well. We went up on our
that's,
own.
That's good. I like the fact that everyone kind of backs the other teams in the league if and when.
Kirkham and Wesham, as they were called at the time, only turned up with about 5,500 people.
Yeah.
Lowestoft turned up with 14,500.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference. And it shows how popular that non-league football is in our region. And I think it's wonderful, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's given me the opportunity to watch football that I've never been able to before.
So if people listening to this who are generally Town supporters are thinking, I quite fancy going to watch the Wanderers.
I thought I'm one step ahead of you there, Phil. 14th of March, Lakenham, our next home game, Town or away?
Amberdoosey Lane.
Marvellous. There you go. And the website, of course, is
ipswichwanderers.co.uk.
There you go. You can find out all the details.
Absolutely. And it only costs you a cup. Where must it cost you? Five, or is it something?
£5 on the door.
And you can stand up on the terraces and drink.
Stand on the terraces, drink in view of the pitch, everything, and a good pint of Stella, and the bar's cheap.
We have our own forum as well.
Yeah.
Which is pretty rather popular lately, isn't it? Which is
The Kids Radio Forum. If you go on the main website, there's a link
onto there.
Marvellous.
Up to about, I don't know what
we have now 320 members, I believe.
That's not bad, is it?
It's very good, actually. Very impressive. Yeah, it's very tempting, actually. Yeah, well, we've got time. Back to the doom and gloom, right? I'll read them out. They don't all need answering, so I'll just read through them. Pabs and Lee, that was one of the worst home games I can remember. It was on a par with the John Duncan days. The whole team looked like they'd never met before. Brian Gunn says, don't relegate us on the 19th of April.
That's the only thing we've got left to dream about.
Daniel asked...
And not only relegate them, presumably, if we do relegate them, word is, of course, that, you know, they may be going for the old minus 10 points thing after that.
Really?
It has been rumoured.
Why? What's happening?
Obviously, I can't speculate. It's obviously speculation, and I don't know anything. But, you know.
Oh, well, because of this thing earlier in the season?
The administration thing that a lot of clubs are doing. So it could be an interesting end of the season, because Charlton may do the same thing as well.
Right. Daniel, am I in the pub tonight? No, because my liver's still suffering from last night, but probably tomorrow, mate, I'll text you. James Cummings.
Was that just a personal text?
That was a personal one, yeah. It's great. You don't have to bother to pay for text. You just email it.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. I'll be home in 20 minutes, darling.
Paul Atkins. Yeah. Get the dinner on. Dear Steve, this is Paul Atkins from Oxford. I believe it's time to be more optimistic. How do you think we'll be fair in the Premiership next season? So we'll send the men round, Paul. James Cummins, even as a gym inner, I think it might be time to start drawing up his P45. Johnny, this is actually, I'm wondering whether you were thinking of this earlier. Johnny, it's got Johnny Layson, I don't know whether that's his name or Johnny from Layson. The best thing would be for everyone to forget the notion or dream of the playoffs and for Jim to leave of his own accord. It says get Paul Ince in now. Let him work with the squad for the rest of the season and have all summer to get us into shape. Were you alluding to that or something earlier? Because someone said they saw him last night, didn't they, down at the football ground? Yeah, and this is the second one I've had.
I made no allusion.
No, okay.
Fall into.
No, I just wondered if you had a word.
No. I mean, there's always room. Glenn Hoddle was supposed to be at a game 2 weeks ago, wasn't he? But I mean, you know, usually when there's someone in the director's box of that standing, as there was early in the season, Mauricio Tirico and Gus Poyet were at a game, weren't they? Everybody spotted them. So, you know, I think when only one or two people spot these people there, unless they're kind of hiding, which I can't imagine they would need to, then chances are it's probably Chinese whispers. Mm. I reckon.
If Paul is pop out from behind a poster,
yeah.
You didn't see the governor, right?
So, yeah, what do we think about Paul Ince? Would we think Paul Ince would be an interesting appointment here? Or?
That's interesting, yeah, that's only come from nowhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, again, he was another manager. I mean, yeah, obviously he did well at MK Dons, but he obviously couldn't cope with the massive jump from League 2 to Premiership. He just could not do it.
Yeah, I don't think he's the finished product. No. I think we need to go to someone that's the finished product. There's money at stake, you know, there's money being put into the club. Let's pick a manager that knows what to do with that money and has proven he's done that before.
Proven at Championship level or proven... I'm thinking, you know, Martinez has probably been... If you look at the Championship, you look at the manager that you think is probably the manager of the few... You know, if you tended to pick managers who are on their way to something in the way that Robson was and Burnley was, Martinez looks sort of in that mould at the moment. Would you go for someone like him?
I'd go with Martinez, yeah.
Or would you go? I mean, the Kurbish League fits more into the Lyle stroke Royal type appointment, doesn't he? I think. I mean, it's a difficult choice if and when the decision.
I think if you put someone like that in place, they seem to be a promotion specialist, don't they? Like people always say with Joe Royal, they'll get us up, but then we'll have to look for someone else.
Yeah.
And do the case with him. He's your man to get you up to the next. You know, get you up to the Premiership, but then you'd.
Would you need someone else? Well, I mean, he kept Charlton up, didn't they, for a number of years?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously they seesawed a bit, didn't they? But I think that's kind of inevitable when you're a club that side. What else we got on there? Anyone else suggested?
Last one, Ian Bruce. It's not so much
Carlton
losing
Palmer in.
No, this is just another comment. Not so much losing the games that gets me. It's the inconsistency. Can anybody shed some light onto why this may be? Is it the players, the managers, or both?
Difficult, isn't it? I think we actually are consistent. We're consistently bad at home and consistently quite good away.
Yeah.
It just so happens that. Most people see the side at home, and of course there's greater pressure on the team to perform at home.
Yeah, definitely.
But right, well, the next away, we don't have a game till next Tuesday, do we?
We've got the FA Youth Cup match on Saturday,
have we?
Of course.
Is that down at Portman Road?
It's at Portman Road against Watford, and it's £1 to get in.
Oh, that's got to be good.
That's got to be good. Which is very very good of the club. And a Wanderers Saturday, who they play?
At Wanderers, we are away to Downer Market Saturday. Can I just, before we go off air, just want to shout in for our ladies' team, the Wanderettes.
The Wanderettes?
The Wanderettes, they're officially Wanderers ladies, but the Wanderettes sounds better. We like the Wanderettes.
Yeah.
They're having one hell of a season. They've actually jumped up into a higher regional league, which they thought they might initially struggle in, and they've gone flying colours. I think they've picked up a few players from Ipswich Town ladies.
Yeah.
Who were struggling with the time commitment, obviously being with Town, and have moved across to Wanderers.
Right.
And we are in a semi-final of the Norfolk and Suffolk Cup on Sunday the 15th against West Lynn. And who have we got? We've got Sunday.
It's West Lynn again on this Sunday. It's the quarter-final League Cup.
Well, there you go.
Excellent. Right, good luck to the Wanderettes. And from the Kesberg Ultras, that's Adrian, Chris and Matt. Goodbye from them, and goodbye from Phil, and goodbye from me. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.